Good morning, everyone. I'm going to present adapted and unadapted tropical corn in central Iowa. We pretty much did a research study composed of several chapters. The first one was phenology, growth and light interception study, and final biomass and composition. We split this presentation in two experiments to show it in a clearer way. So the first objective was to investigate the adaptability of tropical populations by means of studying crop development. And the other one, we compare temperate tropical corn in season and in season harvests in terms of biomass production and quality composition. So as I mentioned you, we had two experiments, the phenology and the management experiment. The first one, shared the same rationale than the whole research and was like we hypothesized that tropical corn with longer cycles will result in delayed flowering time and greater biomass yields, especially in northern temperate climates such as Iowa. And the method we followed for that first experiment was filtrants established in Sorenson Farm in Boone County during 2014 and 2015. Growing seasons, we planted three different tropical corn, Tuxpeño, Suwan, and Tucson, with three different levels of adaptation, C1 and C5. C1 we call non-adapted, and C5 we call adapted. In this experiment, we employed a split plot design with planting dates as the main factor. So we choose like the early at mid-May as the first planting day, the mid-end of May, second planting day, and early June, third planting date. So we use the leaf color method as the methodology to measure phenology, and we use a destructive and non-destructive methodology to determine the overall phenology and analyze our data. Research results of this first part of the tropical corn study is like the first 60 days after planting, we didn't find any significant differences between the populations we use. But between 60 and 89 days after planting, we start observing differences among them. Point in what the adapted populations, which are symbolized by the close bullets, reach a plateau and start developing reproductively, while the non-adapted populations keep on going in vegetative development. So for 2014 and 2015, we obtained exactly the same trend, but this happened faster in 2015. Because a greater accumulation of growing degree days for the second year. One of the main outcomes of this research was like the non-adapted populations developed more leaves than the adapted populations, and that was reflected as well in the maximum height that we obtained from the adapted and non-adapted populations. So our non-adapted strains were taller than the adapted ones to that conditions. In terms of biomass production, we got that non-adapted populations yielded greater biomass yields, total biomass yields, than the adapted populations for the three different planting dates, and we had drastically affected our harvest index for each one of the tropical populations. So we can summarize and conclude that we obtain the first differences between adapted and non-adapted populations after 990 growing degree days. And although adapted tropical corn performed better for grain development, non-adapted performed better for vegetative development. Our second study was much bigger and handled all the management practices that we can possibly handle to produce more higher biomass yields, and the response variables we measured were the leaf area index, the tissue nitrogen concentration, plant height, and that happened during three season harvests. At the final harvest, we measure a grain yield, biomass yield, harvest index, plant height and diameter, and lignocellulosic and ash nitrogen concentration. The applied treatments were like a row spacing. We used narrower row spacings of 38 centimeters and 76 centimeters. That are the conventional row spacings that we use for corn, and higher plant densities of 100,000 plants per hectare and 120,000 plants per hectare, and with an application of two nitrogen rates of 180 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare and 200 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare under the same conditions with it or performed our first experiment. We, in this case, use not populations. We use hybrids of 104, 110, 114, 120 relative maturities, and two tropical corns of 130 relative maturities. So the first outcome we got was like, for our third harvest, we obtained like the plants started to be taller for a narrower row spacings. So in non-continuing lines, we have like the behavior or the plant height for 76 centimeter rows, and the continuous line represent like the height at 38 centimeter rows. So the closed bullets represent the tropical corn, and the open bullets are the temperate corn, so the corn with a lower relative maturity. So we can observe that after the third planting date, we just like got taller plants, and all the way around happened with a leaf area index. So the wider row spacing of 76 centimeter rows allowed to expand more leaves for temperate and tropical corn. And we can observe that the leaf area index is even greater for tropical corn over the temperate average that we got. As well, we measure the nitrogen concentration in season in season harvest. So we got a percentage in leaf nitrogen concentration of 3.2 to 3.5%. and stems to 1.5 to 2.2%, and that was decreasing through the growing season until day of harvest. And in the case of the stems, we found a significant difference in nitrogen concentration between tropical corn and a temperate corn. In terms of biomass production, we got that at final harvest, red represent all the tropical corn, so the tropical corn yielded greater biomass yield for both years, 2014 and 2015, and were taller during 2014-2015, had greater diameter for both years as well, and had a special components in terms of biomass and grain yield. Since we had two groups of measurements of settings that we have done at the beginning of the experiment was like the plant arrangement or plant density and row spacing, so planting practices and application of nitrogen. We observed that the plant arrangement had effects on biomass production. So the row spacing was the main one of those, in which the narrower row spacings, we obtain greater biomass production for both years. And the same happened for plant height. Plant height relatively follow the biomass accumulation, final biomass accumulation for both years. We obtain a yield, our grain yield, that was not expected when we lay out our experiment. We were trying to plant corn at very high densities, reducing as much as possible the grain production, but still we got. And we analyzed the grain composition as well, and we saw that tropical corn has greater contents of grain protein and grain oil than temperate corn, but nevertheless, a lower grain starch percentage than temperate corn. In terms of its composition, nitrogen has a very interesting factor that affects the composition of the feedstock. We analyze all the ash, nitrogen concentration, lignocellulose composition, and we got that a tropical corn in general have highly differences with in respect with the temperate corn. The main advantages is like tropical corn lines had lower ash concentration than temperate corn. And another outcome in relation with one of the treatments that we applied was like greater rates of nitrogen influence greater ash concentrations in leaves. This is the lignocellulose composition, how it's affected by the nitrogen rate that we applied. So the greater, the lower the rate of nitrogen we applied, the greater the lignocellulose composition we got. So, and it happened for both years. So that's an important outcome that in contrast of what happened with biomass, that the row spacing had this big impact of these bigger yields. In terms of composition, nitrogen is a great a factor that is influencing differences in our research. So, to conclude, I can say that there were differences in plant height and leaf area index of temperate tropical corn begin to occur at the middle of the growing season. Narrower rows resulting in taller plants and greater total biomass yield, and nitrogen level impacted grain and feedstock composition aspects. And at the end, tropical corn is very promising and had up to 20% greater biomass production than the temperate corn set under these high plant densities conditions. And show a potential as be considered as a feedstock for second generation biofuels. Thank you very much. And I
we have 2 minutes left. We have time for questions.
Thank you for your question. It's a very good one. I think when we are exploring this exotic germoplasm, we are opening a door for opportunities in terms of production. So genotypes such as tropical corn that produce such a huge amount of biomass, they can be used as well as an opportunity to be used as an alternative to get front to the greater challenges that we have in agriculture, like the depletion of the soil organic matter. So if we had such materials, and we can just have like percentages of harvests, and leave part of that biomass in the soil, be incorporated in the soil, that might help us to keep the soil organic matter over the time, and reduce that depletion. At the same time, I think there are other cases of biomass producer crops, such as sorghum cane, that they have 65% of moisture at harvest. That is so huge compared with tropical corn that doesn't have as much. This is like using exotic germoplasm is going to be more an opportunity that to be flexible until different challenges that we may have.
Undoubtedly, the industry has been introgressing tropical corn into central corn belt hybrids for a long time. To what extent did the later varieties that you tested, the commercial varieties, did they look a lot like? I mean, did they behave a lot like the tropical corn except for flowering date?
I don't think I understood the question.
Oh, how similar are the later relative corns adapted in Iowa? Mm-hmm. How similar are those to the tropical varieties?
I tried one that was very similar in relative maturity type. That was not similar. That was more behaving more in terms of quality aspects. More than temperate corn than tropical corn, and it produces grain. The very big difference is like the tropical corn. Doesn't mature the grain, the kernel, totally, fully. So by time of harvest, you have a very dehydrated seed, but not. Not with higher contents of starch on the big embryos. So that I think that is the huge difference. The commercial hybrids are, even the relative maturity 120 is more similar to temperate corn than tropical corn in that sense. No, it doesn't show. It didn't.